Amen. I'd like to ask you to take your Bibles with me this evening to the book of Matthew in chapter number 13. Matthew chapter number 13. And we're going to look at this great chapter of kingdom parables right towards the end, really more in the center, I guess, at verses number 44 through 46 this evening. Matthew chapter number 13, verse number 44 through 46, we'll take for our text this evening, and with the Lord's help, we'll try to understand these two parables that we find here. Short parables, but very, very powerful parables. Matthew chapter 13, in verse number 44, the scriptures read, "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field, the which, when a man hath found, he hideth, and for joy thereof goeth and selleth all that he hath, and buyeth that field. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man, seeking goodly pearls, who, when he had found one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had, and bought it." Two little parables, not long parables. I don't think they're super hard or complex parables to understand. But tonight, with the Lord's help, I think we will find something in these parables to be very, very valuable. In fact, these two parables are two that come to my mind constantly when I think of the parables and truly the Christian life. The parable of the hidden treasure and the parable of the pearl of great price. Now, Matthew chapter 13, many of you already know and are very familiar with, is a chapter of parables. Often these parables in Matthew chapter 13 are called the kingdom parables. Almost all of them, Jesus Christ, as he's giving them, says the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he gives some sort of, he gives a parable. And a parable is simply this: it's an earthly story that we would say has a heavenly meaning. I know that's a bit cliche, but it's what it is. It's a story that has some deeper truth behind it, and something that we understand as a simple story, but it's got something that we find to be much more impactful for our soul. And really throughout history, this is what we find, that stories are portrayed that have deeper meaning. Sometimes we see this in things like fairy tales. We might learn about in a fairy tale a deeper truth or a deeper understanding. But this is different because these aren't fairy tales. These are the words of Jesus Christ himself. And so he's not just trying to reveal some metaphysical idea. He is trying to reveal something far, far deeper. In fact, the scriptures say this. If you look in verse number 11 of chapter number 13, as Jesus Christ is talking specifically to his disciples. Now get the picture here. He's been speaking to the great multitudes off of the side of a ship. And he's speaking to a great multitude. But it's as if Jesus turns to his disciples, and his disciples in verse number 10 ask him. They came and said unto him, "Why speakest thou unto us in parables?" They're asking him, why, of all the ways that you could talk to us and teach us and speak to the multitudes, why are you using parables? And this is what Jesus says. And he answered and said unto them, "Because it is given unto you, unto the disciples, to know the mysteries of the kingdom of heaven. But to them it is not given. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and he shall have more abundance. But whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken away, even that he hath." Now, that when I the first few times I first understood that verse, it was a bit mind-breaking. It was a big deal to me, because for the first time I realized that the parables were not simply given that we might understand or to make deep truths more simple, but they were also given to hide deep truths. The reality is that what we're about to look at, as the Bible tells us, is a mystery of the kingdom of heaven. It is a mystery. And so even now, as we begin to go and search for this treasure, as we know the parables that we're looking at are about, can I tell you that we are going to look for a great mystery from God? This is not something that we can do on our own. This is not something that we can come up with. And in fact, I think it's Matthew chapter 11. It says this in verse number 25. At that time, Jesus answered and said, "I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight. All things are delivered unto me of my Father, and no man knoweth the Son but the Father, neither knoweth any man the Father save the Son, and he to whomsoever the Son will reveal him." I hope tonight, as we enter into the understanding and reading of this text that God has placed upon my heart, that we would come not as the wise and prudent, but as babes. You know, there are many people who come to the Word of God in search of something, but with a high and lofty, a wise and proud, prudent, right, mindset. And they come looking, but they don't find anything. Why? Because they did not come humbly seeking the truth. And tonight, as we look at the Scriptures, I wonder, do you come humbly to the Word of God? And prayerfully saying, "Lord, show me, reveal truth to me." Notice what verse 35 of Matthew 13 says. Again, the disciples speaking to Jesus. And it says this in verse number 35 of Matthew 13, "that it might be fulfilled, which was spoken by the prophet, saying, I will open my mouth in parables. I will utter things which have been kept secret from the foundations of the world." Now, this is really important as we look at this, because what you'll notice in verse number 44 is that the treasure that we're going to look at tonight, the Scriptures tell us, is hid. It's a hidden treasure. Notice what it says in verse number 44. "Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto treasure hid in a field." I wonder tonight, before we even begin to look at this, I wonder tonight if you would go with me with your pickaxe and with your hard hat on and your light on, and if you would dive into the cave with me tonight to seek and find this treasure. Or in this case, if we would go out into the field and look for this treasure. Now notice the parable, verse number 44. The parable is quite simple. There's a man who has gone out into the field, and as he was in the field, you can almost imagine maybe a farmhand who's in a farmer's field, and he's plowing up the field. Maybe he's got a yoke of oxen, he's plowing, and all of a sudden a chest or a vessel of some sort seems to be unearthed, and he recognizes immediately that this is a very, very valuable treasure. He looks at the gold and the silver and the diamonds and the rubies and he thinks, "This is the treasure I want." And he buries it back under the field and he goes back home and he begins to sell everything he has. He sells the goat that he has. He sells the oxen and the few chickens that he has. He sells all the eggs that he has on his shelves and the flour and the grain that he has. And he sells all of his clothes except for one pair of clothes. And he gets all the money he has and he goes to the farmer and he says, "I would like to buy that field. That field is very valuable." Maybe he didn't want to be too explicit and share too much because he didn't want the farmer to know. Now, do remember the parable. We can't allegorize everything here, but he buys that field. He buys that field because, not because he wanted the field. Maybe the farmer thought, what a strange, this is horrible land. You can barely even graze sheep on this land. Why would you want this land? And he buys the field and he goes and he unburies that great, precious treasure. That's the parable. The second parable, very similar, like unto it. It says this, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a merchant man seeking goodly pearls. And now you can imagine a man who is, for some reason or the other, he has given himself to the trade of being a jeweler, maybe. Specifically in pearls. Now we know that pearls are considered a valuable item. They say in this day that a pearl would be considered three times the value of gold. Think of that. It was much more valuable than gold. And so this man is going about, he's buying pearls, he's selling pearls, he finds a ruby that he can take and sell for more to get more pearls. Maybe he's down by the sea shucking oysters and trying to find pearls. I don't know. But as he's going from antique shop to merchant seeking after pearls, he stumbles upon a man who has a pearl like he's never seen before. A pearl. Now, maybe he had a bag of 20, 30 pearls that he had gathered over the years. But now he finds this man who has a pearl that the Bible tells us is one pearl of great price. One pearl that was greater than all the rubies and gems he'd ever seen. All the pearls that he had ever collected. In fact, the Bible tells us that he too, like the man in the field, the Bible tells us that he, in verse number 46, when he found that one pearl of great price, went and sold all that he had and bought it. He sold everything he had. Now, some people say, well, maybe it was just the pearls, but the original language and I can't think of the word. The format that it's in shows to us that it's not the pearls. The pearls, I believe, are in feminine, and this is in neuter. And he sells all that he has for those pearls, for that one pearl, for that one valuable pearl. You might think him a madman. You might think that he's crazy, wouldn't you? If somebody sold everything they had just for one pearl, he walks down the street in his trousers and his t-shirt, the cheapest that he had, with his shoes that are falling apart, and he says, I got it. The one pearl. We'd think he was crazy. These are the two parables. But what is, let's ask the question, what is that treasure? What is the pearl of great price? The treasure that's hidden, that a man would sell everything he has because he wants that treasure. The pearl that a man would sell all that he has, his poor wife, right? For that one single pearl. Now, just let me give you a hint here. The guy who bought the pearl wasn't getting rid of the pearl. He wasn't selling everything to buy it just to sell the pearl to buy more stuff. No. He wanted the pearl. That pearl was so valuable to him. What is that pearl? What is that treasure? Now, this is what I love about the scriptures. This is quite clear here. Verse number 44. The kingdom of heaven is like treasure. What is the treasure? The Bible tells us it is the kingdom of heaven. What is the pearl? The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant man seeking goodly pearls who, when he had found one pearl of great price. The pearl of great price, the treasure hidden in the field is this. It is the kingdom of heaven. Now, does that help you? Now, the question has to be, what is the kingdom of heaven? What is the kingdom of heaven? If it is like a precious jewel that is worth everything that I have, what is the kingdom of heaven? In the book of Matthew, Matthew emphasizes as a book on a whole, it emphasizes the kingship of Christ. You read it in the very first pages in Matthew chapter 1. We begin to look at the genealogy of Christ as Matthew describes where Christ came from. And he says very specifically in verse number 1, the book of the generations of Jesus Christ, the son of David. Why would he say that? Now, the son of David, the son of Abraham. Now, why would he emphasize the son of David? Even before he begins with the great patriarch Abraham, he emphasizes this because he's showing very specifically that Jesus Christ is from the line of King David and that he is from the genealogy of the king. Why? Because Jesus is the king. Matthew chapter number 3, thinking about this idea of the kingdom, John the Baptist comes, right? In those days came John the Baptist preaching in the wilderness of Judea and saying, "Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Think of that. Very quickly, Jesus Christ will again preach the same words and say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." Matthew chapter 6, as Jesus Christ is teaching these people and on the Sermon on the Mount, and he gives this great prayer, right? The Lord's Prayer. And he says this, "Our Father, which art in heaven." Let's find it here. Let me, before I try to recite it and mess it up. "After this manner," verse number 9, "pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name." What are the next three words? "Thy kingdom come." In the end, you see that of the book of Matthew, and it just, and we could go through it and go through almost chapter by chapter and see how Jesus Christ is set apart as the king. He eventually will enter on the donkey right into Jerusalem, and on Palm Sunday, eventually he'll be hung on a cross, and they'll put the plaque above his head that says, "Jesus Christ, the King of the Jews." He is declared as the king in this book. He is the king, and this is his kingdom. The kingdom of heaven is the kingdom of God. Literally, you could say it this way, that it is, the kingdom of God is literally this. It means God's kingship, or God's sovereignty, and the place where God rules. The kingdom of heaven, the place where God rules. And so somebody would say, well, is the kingdom of heaven in Matthew 13, is that eternity when we die and there's a new heaven and a new earth and there's a new Jerusalem? Is that the kingdom of heaven? Would somebody say, well, is the kingdom of heaven salvation, right? He's going after salvation. Or maybe the kingdom of heaven is the good news. It's referring to the gospel, right? Can I tell you the answer is yes. The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, it is a part of being, it is being a part of God's kingdom. Being a part of the kingdom that God has set up through Christ. So is it through salvation? Yes, salvation is coming and becoming a part, a citizen of that kingdom. If you've not been saved, then you're not a part of the kingdom of God. But you can be. You can be a part of His kingdom through salvation, through Jesus Christ. It's like this. I've come to this kingdom, the United Kingdom, right? I live here now. But can I tell you something? I don't have citizenship here. If things go south, they'll kick me out. Hopefully they don't go that way, and hopefully my wife and children can keep me here with their citizenship. But nevertheless, I'm not a citizen of this nation, right? I'm a citizen of the United States. Maybe someday with time I can get citizenship here and I can leave that. Well, I'm not going to leave it, but I can keep it. But I'll leave that citizenship and join a new nation, right? This is what we do when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. We leave behind the kingdom of this world, right? We leave behind Satan's kingdom and we join a new kingdom, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. Where Jesus Christ is king, where He is the ruler and reigner. Somebody say, is God the king? Is Jesus Christ the king? Well, Jesus is God. If you can explain to me the Trinity, we'll have a talk about that subject. Yes, the answer is yes. Some people like to narrow down something like this and make it very specific. The kingdom of God is this. No, this is a broad statement. And as you read Matthew 13, you'll see that. That the kingdom of God is a part, being a part of God's family. That's what's amazing, is it's not just citizenship, but it's sonship. It's daughtership. It is being, not just looking at the king far off, but being by his side because he is your father. That is the treasure. That is the treasure. Being a part of God's kingdom through Christ. And calling Him Father. I wonder tonight, are you a part of that kingdom? The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in the field. Treasure. Here's the thing about it. Is is not just a simple treasure. It's not just a kingdom. It is a valuable treasure. The value of this treasure, the value of this kingdom, I'm sorry, an American passport or a British passport for that matter is a very powerful passport, isn't it? You guys know that with that passport, you can enter into almost any country in the world, and the countries which won't let you enter in, you probably don't want to. But what if you had a passport from, I don't want to name a country, but a lesser country, Zimbabwe. There, a Zimbabwean said that. What if you had a Zimbabwean passport? Could you enter just anywhere you wanted? No, it might be a lot more challenging, wouldn't it? But here's the thing is the kingdom that we're talking about tonight is far, 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 far superior to the United Kingdom. And I am certain that this is the greatest nation on planet Earth. I wouldn't contradict that to any of you. But can I tell you there is a greater kingdom than any kingdom on this planet? It is the kingdom of God. And being a part of that kingdom is infinitely more valuable than being a part of any kingdom or owning any pearl on this planet. The value of being a part of the kingdom of God, can I tell you, you have nothing that compares to the value of eternal life through Christ with God as your King. Nothing we possess, nothing we own, nothing we have, we could leave it all behind. That's what Paul said, right? I count it all lost. Paul said, I count it all dung that I might win Christ. I wonder, do you and I, Christians tonight, do we see all that we have, our cars, our houses, our clothes, our relationships? Do we see all that we have as infinitely inferior compared to the majesty and glory of the kingdom of God? I wonder, do you value Christ like that tonight? We put value on things, don't we? We put value on things just based on what they are worth to us. Maybe their rarity or maybe the experiences we've had. Here's something that's quite valuable. Many of you probably watched the coronation last week. And during the coronation, King Charles was given a scepter. And inside that scepter was the largest diamond, the largest colorless diamond in the world. It's called the Cullinan 1 diamond. It was discovered in the 1900s, I believe. But in that scepter alone, it was a scepter actually given to Charles, King Charles II, I believe, in 1661. Listen at me with my British history. You're well impressed. I read, see? And that scepter is a historical scepter. You know, it's been in the hands of every monarch of this country since 1661. That's older than me. And you think of the history in that. But that diamond was placed into that scepter in the early 1900s. I believe it's 1911. But it's the biggest diamond, the biggest, largest colorless diamond in the world, the Cullinan 1 diamond. Think of how valuable that diamond is. And then put on top of that the history of being in that scepter and passing through the monarchs of this nation. And even in the last 100 years, the monarchs that have touched and held that scepter. Oh, the value of that diamond. I think in man's terminology, we would probably say it's priceless. It would be hard to put a price on it. Think of the hundreds of man hours that have been spent to protect those crown jewels, right? A priceless jewel. But can I tell you, in comparison to the pearl of great price, it is nothing. It is nothing. It is less than valuable than a grain of dirt, a grain of dust. Because Christ, God, the kingdom of God is so infinitely valuable, incalculably worthy. The value of the kingdom of God is beyond our finite mind's comprehension. We don't see in that way. We don't see in that way, but that's what these parables are about. It's saying that the kingdom of God is the greatest treasure that you and I will ever have. Maybe you have loved ones who you treasure with everything. You would give them all that you had. Think of my son, Israel, and how much I love him. And he seems so valuable to me. I would do anything to keep him alive and in my life. But his worth in comparison to God. Oh, how worthy is Christ. Oh, how valuable he is. Do you view him tonight as valuable? We've talked about it being a treasure and a hidden treasure. We've mentioned that the treasure was hidden in the field. It's hard to find. It's something that we can't always have. We've talked about the fact that he's a valuable treasure. But here's the thing that I think is most exciting to me is that the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, Jesus Christ, God the Father, all of that is not only valuable, but it is a joy-evoking treasure. Notice what the passage says. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, which when a man hath found, it ought to be something that you and I joy to do. That we would joy to give all that we have to obtain Christ. That's what Paul said. He said, I count it all dung that I might win Christ. I wonder tonight, do you see the kingdom of heaven? Do you see Christ that way? Do you value him like that? That you could give it all up and you wouldn't find it a sacrifice because it is a joy to have him. To have that pearl, that one pearl of such great price. Do you value him that way? Here's how you measure that. Let me ask you, what is the first thought that passes your mind in the morning? Where do you spend the most of your time in the day? Measure, let a man examine himself, the scriptures say. Measure yourself. Do you value the most worthy thing in the world as an infinitely valuable as he is, as Christ is? Do you see him as worthy? Is he worth your praise? Is he worth your time? Is he worth your money? Is he worth your energy? Is he worth all that you have? If he's not, then he ain't that valuable to you. Or to me. Is Christ worthy? Is God worthy? He was to the man in the parable. The kingdom of heaven is like unto a treasure hidden in a field, which when a man hath found it. Now that's what's interesting to me. The first man in the parable in verse 44, he wasn't looking for it. He stumbled upon it. Some of you, when you came to Christ, it was like that. You weren't on the hind. You stumbled upon Christ. Maybe you found a leaflet. I think of our brother Combs' salvation testimony. Some old lady handed him a leaflet one day. And he found it. He wasn't searching. He wasn't on the hunt for treasure. He wasn't a pirate going looking for treasure. But he found it one day. And it changed his life. But look at the man in the second parable. He is going about seeking goodly pearls. This reminds me of the philosopher who goes about looking, trying to find answers, trying to find the way, maybe like C.S. Lewis, thinking he was very smart and he was seeking pearls and jewels and gems. And here and there he's finding all these random pieces of gems, some of them probably nothing more than mere rocks that he had picked up along the way. Vain philosophies of this world. But when he was confronted with that pearl of great price, he recognized, I found it. The jewel, the pearl of great price that is far greater than all the philosophies and things of this world, all the religions of this world. They're nothing. I'd sell everything this world has to offer for that pearl of great price, for that treasure in the field. I wonder tonight, are you seeking? Are you seeking that treasure? Can I tell you tonight it is found here? It is Jesus. Jesus came from heaven to earth. He humbled himself, the Bible tells us. And he would die on a cross, paying for our sins, bleeding, giving his life, crown of thorns on his head. He would die, breathe his final breath, and they'd put him in a grave. 3 days later, he rose again, conquering death. See, he paid for your sins on the cross, and he conquered death in the resurrection. Can I tell you tonight, if you would put your faith in Jesus Christ, you can have this treasure. You can have the pearl of great price. It can be yours. I wonder, would you trust in Him? Maybe you haven't been seeking and you came tonight because somebody forced you or invited you, and now you're here and tonight you found the treasure. I wonder, would you have it? Would you go after it? Would you give all that you have to get that field that the treasure might be yours? And for you, brother and sister in Christ, tonight is the night that we start getting serious about the value and worth of Christ. We need Him. So, sometimes we have this tendency, we want to boil the Christian life down to prayer. That's the Christian life. Or we want to boil the Christian life down to Bible reading. If I would read my Bible, that's the Christian life. Or meditation, or the guidance of the Spirit, or whatever it might be. Can I tell you, the Christian life is like a diamond, multifaceted, however you pronounce that, with many different sides, meditation and communion and union and daily Bible reading and daily prayer and daily meditation and daily listening to the guiding of the Spirit, and it's Jesus and it's God and it's being founded in Him. All of that. It is just drawing nigh to God as He draws nigh to us. I wonder tonight, do you value Him, brother and sister in Christ? And would you go after Him? As a man with his pick and his hard hat on, going down into the mines to find that jewel. And I'll tell you this, if you go into that mine every day and you dig and you pray and you ask for the Spirit's guidance, you will find jewels. You will find the kingdom of heaven, which is like a treasure hidden in a field. You will find that pearl of great price. I wonder why it is that Christians, we find the pearl of great price, and then we sit it down here, and we go over and we play with our dust again. We play with the dirt and filth of this world. And maybe on Sunday we'll come and we'll look at that pearl again. Oh, Christ, You're good. And then Monday comes and we go back to the filth of this world. He is all sufficient. Christ is all and in all. That's what the Scriptures say. The fullness of the Godhead bodily. There is nothing more valuable than the kingdom of heaven, than Christ, than God, than the Spirit working in your life. I wonder, will you have it tonight? Let's pray. Father, we thank Thee this evening for Thy Word, and I thank Thee for this parable, the things that Thou hast revealed to me. Lord, I pray that it would cut even deeper into my heart this evening, Lord. Make it real to me, make it real to us. And let us be people who go after the treasure and after the pearl, who, Lord, would be willing to give everything that we might have Thee. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.